Good morning, church. Let's go to our God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for being free. Our freedom comes not from our American flag or the patriots that went before us, or patriots fighting now. Our freedom comes from being part of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ. You sent your son down to this planet Earth to take all our sin. Our enemy from the day one, from Adam and Eve, is Satan. And you gave us your son, and you gave us your holy word as tools, the tools we live by, the tools we need to defend ourselves, to win this battle. And the ultimate battle is to be with you, Lord, in heaven when that day comes, when that time comes. You gave us your word. Please help us to read it, to understand it, and most of all, to live it every day, every moment of our life. That is our freedom. That is our victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple.
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our heart as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our heart as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word, Holy Spirit, rain down.
What is the difference between the church and a nonprofit organization? I know some of you here are a part of a nonprofit organization, maybe here locally in Fort Worth. Maybe some of you sit on the board for a nonprofit organization. Maybe you volunteer or invested heavily in some nonprofit. And what's the difference between a nonprofit organization and the church? I have up here several logos of different nonprofits here in Fort Worth, The Warm Place, The Parenting Center, Fortress, Youth Development Center, Lifeline Chaplaincy. I could have a whole host of many more others because there's many here in Fort Worth, many very good organizations in Fort Worth that do a lot of good in our community. And if you think about these organizations, there is some similarities between them and the church. For example, these organizations take in contributions that are tax deductible, just like the church. These organizations have a staff that help run the organization, just like the church. These organizations have certain people who are entrusted to guard the vision of these organizations. They're called a board of directors. We have something kind of similar called elders, not exactly the same, but kind of similar. Organizations have programs that deliver services to the community. Church has ministries, does something kind of similar. Organizations host events, they cast vision, and they try to develop constituents or stakeholders who believe in that vision. The church does all of those things. In fact, some of these organizations are faith-based, which means that the genesis of these organizations is faith in Jesus Christ, similar to the church. In fact, I would even suggest that there are some people who are involved in nonprofits, faith-based nonprofits, who would consider what they're doing is church. And so what is the difference between the two? Is there even a difference between a nonprofit organization and the church? This summer, we're talking about biblical images of the church. Because if we're going to be a community becoming like Christ, which is our theme for the year, then we need to make sure that we're understanding the essence and the identity of the church. And we're not letting our culture define how we understand the church, but instead we're turning to Scripture and we're letting Scripture define what we understand church to be. Well, the way Scripture defines church is it gives us images. And it uses pictures, word pictures, to help us understand who we are as the church. And one way that I think our culture can influence us is it can cause us to maybe think of the church kind of like an organization. And that we all are just members of this organization. And like other organizations, we need to have procedures, and we need to have policies, and we need to have articles of incorporation, and we need to have different staff and different all kinds of vision and strategy and values and mission, just like another organization, because that's kind of what we are. We're just another nonprofit organization. Even in the tax code, that's kind of the way we're viewed. Just another nonprofit organization, 501c3. But when you open up Scripture, one image that we see in Scripture leads us down a very different direction than a nonprofit organization. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The church in Corinth had a lot of different problems, but one of the main problems, if not the biggest problem they had, was that there was some potential division that was getting ready to happen within the church. There had become a sense of divisiveness within the church, and it all centered around parties or cliques that had developed around everyone's favorite celebrity preacher. And so there were some people who were saying, well, I really like Peter. I really like his style. and I really follow him. And then there were others saying, no, I like Apollos because he's real educated and real intellectual, and I follow Apollos. And then there were some saying, no, I follow Paul because he was the one that founded this church, and so I'm loyal to Paul. And these cliques and these parties were threatening to fracture the church. And so Paul tries to deal with this problem. And in chapter 3, he does two things to deal with the problem. Number one, he reminds the church of who preachers are. That preachers are not celebrities. Preachers are not perfect. Preachers don't have it all together. Rather, preachers are simply human servants that God uses. And who is really special and who is really powerful and who is really incredible is not Paul, Peter, or Apollos. It is God. And so as Paul puts it, he says, I may have planted the seed and Apollos may have watered the seed, but it was God who was bringing the growth. I was just a vessel, Paul says. I was just a co-worker. I was just a co-laborer working with God. It was really God who was doing something. And so don't get all bound up in this celebrity preacher image, Paul says, because preachers are really nothing. They're just vessels. They're just servants that God is using. Who is really special is God. But the second thing that Paul does is he reminds the church of who they are. Of who they are as a collection of believers. And he uses this image that I want us to focus on. This image of being a temple. He says in verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Now, maybe you've heard of this image before, the idea that we are a temple, but probably if you have heard of it before, you've heard of it in an individual sense. Maybe you've heard some lesson about how we're to take care of our bodies and not put bad things into our bodies because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Anyone heard that lesson before? That's not this lesson this morning. Because Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3, he's not using the image in an individual sense. He's using it in a corporate sense. And this is one of those few occasions where I really wish the translators of the New Testament were from the South. Because every time it says you in these two verses, what we really need to have there is y'all. This is the way it should read. Don't y'all know? I mean, wouldn't that be great if that's what the text said? Don't y'all know that y'all yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in y'all? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and y'all are that temple. He's saying something about all of us together, not just individuals. He's saying something about the collection of the believers, the collection of brothers and sisters in Corinth. He's saying, when you come together, when you gather together, there's something special about that because you are a temple of God. Now, to understand the force of this image, we've got to do a little Old Testament work. But never fear, because with the help of Cindy Maloney, we have this incredible setup and visual image of a temple. I know it's makeshift, but go with me here. There are three parts to the temple in the Old Testament. The first part is this area right here, which was the outer courtyard. In the outer courtyard, there were two things. There was an altar, and there was a wash basin. And this would be the place where the people would come, the people of Israel would come, they'd come to the courtyard, and there a sacrifice could be offered on the altar, and also the priests could purify themselves with the wash basin. That's what was here in the outer courtyard. The second part to the temple was back here, and only priests could come in here. And in here was the holy place. And there were different pieces of furniture here. There was altar of incense. There was a table of showbread. There was the lampstand. And the priests would come in and they would do various services on behalf of the people of Israel. This was the first part of the temple. And the second part, inside the physical structure, was the Holy of Holies. Can you see me back here? I can hide under this thing if I wanted to. The Holy of Holies. And the high priest, only the high priest, could come back here once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, in a pagan temple, back here would be the place where you would have the structure of the deity. This is where you would have the idol that you would worship. But in Israel's temple, there was no such structure. All that was there was a box that we call the Ark of the Covenant. It was overlaid with gold, and on top of that box were two angels, right? Two cherubim. And the whole idea was that these two angels were guarding the footstool of God. And that in some strange way, the Ark of the Covenant was a connecting point to the throne of God. God's throne wasn't here specifically, it's in heaven, right? But this was a connecting point to the throne room of God. And the high priest could go in one time a year and offer a sacrifice there. Three parts of the temple. Now the people of Israel, they didn't believe, they weren't stupid, they didn't believe that the God of heaven and earth was somehow fully contained in this one physical structure. But they did believe that if they came with a humble heart to the temple in Jerusalem, and they had a contrite spirit, and they offered their sacrifice, and they prayed to God, that God would meet them there. And that God's presence would be there. And His glory would be there. And His holiness would be there, because that is a temple. It's a sanctuary for the dwelling of God. And there are some scholars who believe that in some ways this temple, the three parts, it represented kind of a model or a replica of all the heavens and the earth. And so the Holy of Holies, this was the invisible heavens. This is where God dwells. The holy place, that's the visible heavens, or we would call the sky. And then the outer courtyard, that's the land and the sea. And just how God's presence filled the temple, the idea, the vision, was that someday, through God's people of Israel, God's presence and holiness would fill all the heavens and the earth. As He has filled these three parts, that He would fill all the heavens and the earth. Well, fast forward several hundred years to the time of Jesus. And Jesus comes, and He comes to the temple, and He judges the temple. Why? Because the temple has not become a place where God's presence is radiating out to all the nations. It's not a house of prayer for all nations. Instead, it's a place of ethnic pride and exclusion. It's a place where there's greed. It's a place where money changing is happening and all kinds of things like that. And so Jesus has to cleanse the temple because it's not what God intended it to be. And He has to say that there's someone greater here than the temple. And He says, I'm going to destroy the temple, and in 3 days later, I'm going to rebuild it. And He's referring, John says, to Himself. That what Jesus was saying is, now the temple of God is not this physical structure. The temple of God, the dwelling of God, is found in Jesus Christ. He is the tabernacle in our midst. He is the glory of God among us. He is the truth and the holiness of God. And then Jesus dies on the cross and is raised from the dead. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, which Chris Jeter preached on a couple weeks ago, that in 1 Peter 2, because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, He now is the cornerstone. And I have a big block here to represent Jesus as the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. He was the block that the builders rejected, but now He's the cornerstone. What's a cornerstone? It's the stone on which everything else is built on. And Peter says that when we identify with Jesus and we experience His death, burial, and resurrection, and we put our faith in Christ and are baptized to Christ, we become a living stone, Peter says, 1 Peter 2. A living stone that's built upon the cornerstone. And so here's a living stone built on the cornerstone. And then here's another living stone. I only have two, so don't worry. I'm not going to build a real high one. But these living stones are built upon this cornerstone. And what are these stones built up into? A new building. A new temple. A new temple. No, not another physical structure. Not another structure in the city of Jerusalem. But a structure of people who are all connected to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Peter says those living stones, that's this new temple. And Paul takes this image and he applies it here in 1 Corinthians 3 and he says, that's all of you. All of you are building stones on top of this cornerstone, and you all are the temple of God. It's not, his dwelling is not found in this physical structure any longer. It's found among his people. Among his people. And it's not just found in one place and in one nation or one tribe, but all over the world in all different nations and all different languages. When collection of believers are built on top of the cornerstone, they are a temple right there. And the goal and the vision is the same as it was for Israel's temple. That just like the whole idea was that somehow God's presence and holiness would radiate out and fill the earth just like it fills the temple. The goal is the same today. That God's presence and his holiness would radiate out from us, his people, to the rest of the world. And so as Paul draws this image in 1 Corinthians 3, the point that he's trying to make is he's trying to explain to those Christians, don't treat the church lightly. Don't think the church is just some organization that you can divide up into different parts. Don't divide the church. Don't fragment the church, because the church is special. You want to know why? Because it's a temple. It's built on the cornerstone of Jesus. It's the very dwelling of God. It's where the glory of God is. It's where the holiness of God is. It's the sanctuary of God. It's the home of God. It's where God's Spirit is. It's a temple. It's sacred. So take care of it, Paul says. And I think in this image, we see the difference, maybe a key difference, between a nonprofit organization and the church. Nonprofit organizations, they're really good, but they're human enterprises, and they're human directed. And they're fueled by human energy. Whereas the church, it's not a human enterprise, right? It's built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And the church is not human directed. The church is filled with the Spirit of God. And the church is not fueled by human energy. Now, we work hard serving the Lord, but we're not fueled by human energy. We're fueled by the very presence and glory of God. Because we're a temple. We're a temple of God's Spirit. And so if you're looking for God, if you want the presence of God in your life, if you want to connect with God, if you want to experience his glory and experience his holiness, if you want his presence and Spirit to fill your life, he's not going to be found in an organization. He's not going to be found in a group meeting. He's not going to be found in some other mystical experience. If you want to find God, if you want to seek God, he is found in the church. Because the church is his temple. The church is where he dwells. Now, he might use other experiences to lead you to his people, but in his people is where God is. Because we are a temple of God's Spirit. And if you want God's presence to fill the earth, if you want to see the grace of God and the love of God to go to all the earth and to help those that are hurting with the love of God and help those that are broken with the hope of God, and if you want to reach out to those that are hungry and if you want to reach out to those that are struggling and give them real truth, it doesn't happen through an organization. It doesn't happen through a social service agency. It doesn't happen through the media or some other means. Where it happens is through the church. Right? It's through the church. Now, the church might use these other means to bring about God's presence, but primarily and fundamentally, God's presence goes forth and should radiate from the church. Why? Because the church is where God is. Because we are his temple, where God's Spirit dwells. You see the power in this image? it changes us from just being a human group of humans who are part of an organization, and it makes us into a spiritual group. It makes us into a place where God's Spirit is. And because of that, we have to view the church differently. We can't view the church just like an organization that we're members of. We can't lead the church the way we lead an organization. In an organization, you lead by trying to control and manage. In the church, you lead by unleashing and empowering. Why? Because we're not in charge. This is God's church, and we are His temple, and His Spirit is among us. And so we unleash and empower. And our goal is the same, to let God's presence flow through us to reach all the earth. What is our strategy? We need a strategy, right? Organizations have strategy. Our strategy is this, to simply let God's Spirit live inside of us and to change us and to work through us. And when we judge our church, we don't judge our church like an organization. We don't judge our church by how much money we take in and how many people are in the pews and all those kinds of organizational kinds of things. We judge the church on spiritual grounds, and we say, is God's Spirit producing fruit? And is God's Spirit changing lives? And is God's Spirit working in us and through us to bring the message and the presence of God to the rest of the world? Why? Because we're a temple of God's Spirit. That's who we are. And God is here among us, working in us. And this is what one reason why I love Southside, because while we're not perfect, I think we're getting this. I think we understand that being the church, that means that we're a group of people where God's Spirit is, and that we're a temple of God and His Spirit, and that we've let God's Spirit work through us to bring about ministries and to bring about opportunities to proclaim the message of Jesus, not because of organizational strategy, but because of the Spirit of God. A couple weeks ago, I was speaking at a church, local church, and they wanted me to come and to talk about Southside. They wanted me to come and talk about our ministries. They had heard about the Hope Ministry. They had heard about the other community ministries that we had. And they just wanted me to kind of tell Southside's story. And whenever I do that, I've done that a couple of times, whenever I do that, I start and end a certain way. The way I start is I say, similar to Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, I say, now I want everyone to understand that as I'm going to tell this story about Southside, that it's really not about us. It's really about God. Because we're really nothing special. We're just human servants. We might do some planting, we might do some watering, but it's God who's bringing growth. And so this story is about God. The way that I end my presentation is always in this manner. I always tell a brief story about how several years ago I was talking with an elder at another church, another state, and he said, Steve, tell me about some of the ministries you're doing to reach people. And I remember when he told me that, I didn't know exactly how to respond because, I mean, I could tell him about some of our ministries and about our food pantry or about our short-term missions, or I could talk about our Hope Ministry. I could talk about all these different ministries. But I knew that if he tried, and if their church tried to duplicate what we were doing where they were, it wasn't going to work. And so I always close my presentation after describing some of the community ministries and about what we're doing with tutoring and our neighborhood schools, and as I talk about the community garden and just all the different things, One Safe Place, all the different things that we're doing, college ministry. I close by saying, now, if you think by duplicating what we're doing in your church that it's just going to work, don't think that way. Because these things have happened not because a group of people got together and made a 5-year plan of what we're going to do over the next 5 years and said, you know what, I think we need next year to start a Hope Ministry. And you know, I think the year after that, we need to... That's not the way we did it. All of these things came about as a work of the Spirit. That as God's Spirit was at work in people's lives, and they felt called to ministry, we just tried to stay in step and say, let's do it. Because we want to see God's presence radiate out. Now, why would we do that? Because we are a temple of the Spirit of God. We're not an organization in the classic sense. We are a temple where God dwells. We are a sanctuary where God is. This is His church and not ours. And so we're just here to serve Him, to co-labor with Him, so that just as His presence filled the temple in the Old Testament, that someday His presence would fill us and then to the rest of the world. And so the call this morning is twofold. The call is, first of all, to those of us who are non-Christians. But if you're searching for God, I know where He can be found. If you're searching for the presence and Spirit of God, I know where He is. He's in the church. And come be one of the living stones that's built on top of the cornerstone and identify with Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection. Be baptized into Christ and come be a part of the temple of God. Not a physical structure, but a living structure of people serving Him. And secondly, the call is to those of us who are already Christians. And you see that you're a part of this sacred, sacred temple. And so if there's something between you and God, if there's something that's keeping you from living out your walk with God, if there is some unholiness in your life, some uncleanness in your life that you need to get right, this is the time to repent of that and to turn to the Lord, because you're a part of God's temple, and God's temple is sacred. And so we're going to have our spiritual leaders stand around our auditorium, our ministers and elders, and if you need prayer, if you need to repent of something, if you want to be baptized, just walk to one of them and we'll help you in any way we can to be a part of God's temple where He dwells. Please come as together we stand and sing.